If you have your Bible with you this morning, open to Proverbs chapter 13. If you've got your smartphone with you, power it on and turn to Proverbs chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible this morning, you can take the one in front of you in the pew as our gift to you this morning. And if none of those things work, all else fails, just follow along on the back screen here, and we're gonna read you some scriptures in just a minute. But let me ask you this morning a question as we get started. Have you ever wanted something so bad that it's all you could think about? Like you went to bed thinking about it, you dreamt about it, you woke up thinking about it. I mean, every conversation somehow gets directed towards that thing. Like you wanted this thing so bad, you could taste it. If you've ever been in that situation, and then after days or weeks or months of praying, your dreams begin to fade and your hope diminished and a deep discouragement sets in because that thing you wanted so bad just isn't happening. A thing you were praying about so much, it just seemed more unlikely that it was going to happen. See, times like that can challenge your faith in God and even lead you to question your faith or your relationship with Him. See, the Bible speaks to moments like this and gives us sound instruction to help prevent us from questioning God's faithfulness, questioning His existence, abandoning prayer altogether. If you're on the path this morning, if you're on that path this morning, or you've become heartsick over delayed hope, I want you to know that God hasn't forgotten you and He hasn't given up on you. God isn't ignoring you. He hears your cries. He hears your prayer. And see, this morning, if you're suffering from deep discouragement, if you yield to God, if you allow Him, He'll turn that discouragement into a life-transforming lesson that will deepen your faith. See, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at how we can position ourselves to avoid this type of discouragement and see how faithful God is. Today, I want to share with you 3 ways to avoid this type of discouragement and give you some insight from Scripture on how to live a more fruitful life. Let's read this morning Proverbs chapter 13. All right, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Whoever scorns instruction will pay for it, but whoever respects a command is rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. This morning, you know what? Jonathan, would you come up here real quick? Would you just lead us in prayer as we get into God's word? Jonathan's leaving this week back to Liberty. So let's try that again. Jonathan's leaving this week back to Liberty University. I know, I'm going to miss him. It has been good having him home. Last year, he was only here for a few weeks because he was doing an internship, but we told him, that's not God's will for you this year. Just come back home, and then you go back to school. But he's leaving us. So would you open us up in prayer, man, for God's word?
Bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have, Lord, to just hear you speak to us through your word. God, I just pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes and open our ears to what you would have for us today, God, and that you would lead us in the way that you would have us go, Lord, and that you would show us what you would have us learn, God, that we might come away from today being ministers and builders of your kingdom. This is your will for us, and thank you for everything that you do. Praise in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan is studying pastoral leadership and 2 more years, right? 4 more semesters. That sounds better. 4 more semesters. And then he'll be back with us. Thank you, Jonathan. Let me tell you, this morning, the Bible is filled with transferable principles that transcend culture and time. See, what that means is that when kept in context, the principles of Scripture can be applied to any person in any culture at any time and produce results. Like, it doesn't matter what time period you're living in. It doesn't matter if you have electricity or not electricity. It doesn't matter if you live in North America or South America. It doesn't matter. When the Bible remains in context, it will always produce the results it intends to produce. But you might be thinking this morning, Pastor Mike, how do you know that? You're one person who lives in Milpitas, California. How is it possible to know that God's word applies to every culture of every time period? How do you know for sure? Well, let me show you this. Isaiah 55, verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Now, God's word's going out and it's not coming back empty-handed. It will fulfill exactly what God intended his will to do. Well, that's great, Pastor Mike. That's one verse. Do you have another verse that I could feel a little bit more confident about? Well, that's good that you asked. Numbers chapter 23, "God is not man that he shall lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" See, God's not like us. He doesn't change his mind. His opinions don't change with time. God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Not what you say God's going to say, but what God has said in his word in context, he will do. We just need to stand and hold fast to that word. Well, that's great, Pastor Mike, but that's two things. The Bible's filled with words and sentences and numbers and scriptures. Do you have another one? Yes, I do. It says this, "For I am the Lord. I will speak the word that I will speak, and it will be performed." God says, "I'm the Lord, and when I speak, it's going to happen." Why? Because I'm God, and I speak things that I intend to do. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs that we read this morning, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." You know, that word "sick" in the Hebrew is interpreted as wounded, or to become grieved, or to feel pain. See, this level of wounding goes deeper than the surface, and it can be difficult to overcome. See, when our hearts are set on a specific object or on a certain outcome so deeply that we can almost taste it, but we don't receive it, we can be left with a debilitating feeling of defeat. Have you been there before? Have you prayed about something, wanted something so badly from God, and you sought after God, and then it didn't come about, and you just felt defeated, you felt down, you felt wounded? See, Proverbs, the entire chapter of Proverbs 13 stresses the importance of receiving wise instruction. See, advice from the wrong source will yield unexpected results no matter how good your intentions are. See, this is why discipleship, which is the regular study of God's word, it's also the coming together frequently to hear the Bible taught and to meditate on God's word and obeying what you read and you hear. That's why this is so important. That's why discipleship is so important for you and I to commit to knowing God's word. If you're not in the routine or the habit this morning of studying God's word daily, weekly, let me encourage you this morning, make a commitment right now that this week you're going to begin to regularly study God's word. You're going to begin to meditate on God's word. Allow the words of the scripture to sink deep into your spirit through obedience. See, God's word obeyed leads to joy. It leads to peace and fulfillment that's untouchable by circumstances. When you're walking in obedience to God's word, it doesn't matter what happens around you. You are protected by what God's word says. See, when God's word goes out, it doesn't return void. What God says will be performed. But it's in the word that we obey, not that we hear. It's not the word that we hear. It's not coming to a service like this or a Wednesday night Bible study or a small group Bible study and listening to God's word. It's the word that begins to read us, that begins to be a part of us. See, I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm committed to sharing God's word with you and not my opinions. I'm committed to providing you with the best teachers and teaching so that you can grow in your faith. We have two of the best associate pastors who are committed to teaching God's word, Pastor Joseph and Pastor Sylvia. Yeah, come on. We have We have some great Sunday school teachers who sacrifice their time to study all week to provide you with information that will bring about transformation in your life. If you're not plugging into a Sunday school, if you're not plugging into Wednesday night, to Sunday morning regularly, if you're not committed to studying God's Word at home, you're falling short of what your life could be, because God's Word doesn't return void. His blessings, His promises flow out of our obedience. See, as a follower of Jesus, discipleship's not an option. Discipleship's not an optional part of our spiritual life. It's what we do. See, without discipleship, we're simply adding religion on to our list of things to do. Discipleship must be an intentional act. Growing in God isn't automatic. I hate to burst your bubble this morning, but just sitting here doesn't mean you're going to grow in God. See, it's through intentional, sacrificial obedience and discipleship where we begin to grow in God. Let me tell you, I'm a firm believer. You're never going to get to a point where you're like, I got it. I've been there. I've done that. I've heard it all. God is infinite. That means we can never outlive Him. Let's just say, for theory's sake, you were born on day two. Well, God was born on day one. He's still ahead of you. There's still so much more to Him to know. I love what Eugene Peterson said. There are no experts in the company of Jesus. We're all beginners. We're all beginners. It doesn't matter if you've been coming to church for 30 years. It doesn't matter if this is your third time in church. We're all beginners. Listen, look to the person next to you and say, you're a beginner. When it comes to God's Word, we need to read, apply, repent when necessary, and then repeat. That is the model for our life. Let me repeat that to you, because it's not up on a slide this morning. When it comes to God's Word, we need to read. We need to apply what we read to our life. There are moments where you're going to need to repent, so when necessary, repent, and then do that all over again. If you spend that process and allow that process to work in your life, you're going to see transformation take place. See, without transformation, all we have is religion. And religion can't save us. What religion makes us feel okay about ourselves. Like, I went to church this week. I feel okay about myself. I'm a good person because I sat on a hard pew on Sunday morning. I got up and wore my best outfit this morning. I am a good person. See, religion just makes us feel good, wants us to try to feel good about ourselves. But it doesn't save us. Check this out. Religion is devoid of transformation. It's intent on uniformity. Religion says, do this my way. This is how it's supposed to be done. If you're not doing it this way, you're wrong. So do it this way. And if you do it this way and you check all that off, then you're okay. Religion is intent on uniformity. And religion emphasizes rules over relationship. Just follow these rules. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about being moral. Don't worry about a relationship with God. Don't worry about being a spiritually minded person. Just follow these rules. See, let's not live like that. Let's commit to being lifelong hearers and doers of God's Word. Amen? Now, back in Proverbs 13, that word heart in verse 12 represents more than just a mental or emotional center, but the word represents the whole being, like your entire being, not just your mind, not just your thoughts or your emotions, but your entire being. And so when the scripture says hope deferred causes the heart to be sick, it's saying is hope deferred causes the whole person to feel despair and to be crushed. The whole person, not just a part of you, but every bit of you is crushed. Depression comes in. Despair comes in. Disappointment overwhelms us. See, passion, joy, peace, self-control, these things begin to diminish in our life when we become crushed. See, hope deferred may be the result of pursuing things that were not going to prevent God's perfect will in your life, so He refused to grant that. He refused to say yes to that prayer request or to that desire because it was going to lead you out of His perfect will. Now look what verse 13 says, "Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded." You know, there's a tendency, as I stated just a few moments ago, that with a little bit of age and a little bit of time experience as a Christian, we have the tendency to maybe fall back on our experiences or on our own wisdom. Let me tell you right now, we need to avoid that thinking at all cost. We need to avoid the mindset of, I've got a better way. I've got a quicker way. I've got a more sure way. We need to avoid the thinking or the mindset that I've been down this road before, so I got this. Don't worry about it, God. I've been here before. I can handle this. Let me tell you, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Your degrees are great, but there are situations that you're going to encounter that you need God's help. And even when you don't think you need God's help, you really need God's help. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before God. There's something mighty and powerful about a man or woman of God that is willing to humble themselves before God. Like they may be serving God for 30, 40 years. They may have been around the block more times than they can count. They may have seen God come through time after time, but they continue to humble themselves and say, God, I need you. God, I'm desperate for you. This situation, I need your intervention. I need your wisdom, God, in this situation. There's something mighty and powerful about a man or woman who will humble themselves. In fact, James 4:10 goes on to say that God will exalt you when you do that. God will lift you up when you humble yourself before him. So even when you feel like you're wise enough or you're strong enough and you don't need to turn to God, on that time, in that time or in that moment, hit the brakes. We create more drama in our life when we begin to live like that. We create more problems in our life when we begin to handle situations without seeking God, without getting wisdom from him. So let's quickly this morning, let's look at three things very quickly that will help us avoid, that will help us to avoid crushing. The first thing we can do to avoid deferred hope in our life is consult God's word. This is Christianity 101 this morning. Stay with me. We need to consult God's word. See, God's given us a book full of wisdom. And when we apply it to our life, it produces transforming results. Like, you don't got it figured out. Trust me. No matter how smart you are, you don't got it all working together. See, you need to turn to God. God's word will produce transforming results in your life. It will change you from the inside out. It'll open your eyes to things you didn't see before. See, God also said in James that if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who will give it generously without finding fault. Like, I think some of us don't want to ask God for wisdom because we think God's going to find fault with us. God's going to be like, really? Seriously, you don't know how to... You don't know how to do that? You're going to ask me how to get you through that? What's wrong with you? Some of us, I think, take this skeptical mindset, like, well, this is so elementary. I don't want to offend God by asking God how to do this or how to get through this. Listen, God says, if you need wisdom, ask me. I'm not going to find fault with you. I'm not going to say, well, you should have already known how to do this. Figure it out yourself. God's not going to do that. God says he'll give it generously. Other translation says liberally. When God wants to give us wisdom, he pours it out. He just gives it more than we need. Like you said, I just need a cup. And he pours a gallon of water into that 8-ounce cup. I mean, it's just getting all over the place. God will give it to you without finding fault. So ask him, consult him, turn to his word. I love Proverbs. This is such a classic verse. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path. He will make straight your paths. See, we are to lean upon God not because we're weak, but because he's the source of wisdom. We don't go to God. God's not a crutch for us. God's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. He's the source of all, like we read this morning, wealth and strength, prosperity, all that comes from God. So why not lean upon him? Why not draw upon him? Why not find out what he has to say about a situation? It's not because you're weak. It's because he's so strong. And you would be wise to find him. So number one, we want to consult God's word. We want to defer hope. So we go to God's word. Instead of trying to figure it out ourselves, doing it our way, we're going to turn to God. A second way we can defer hope is seek wise counsel. Seek wise counsel. Now, maybe some of us are afraid to ask other people because we don't want them to think that we're inept or we're not smart enough or wise enough. But getting counsel from other godly men and women will help us align our desires with God's will. I've gone to people and I've shared with them, this is something that I want. And they're like, brother, come on, let's look at God's word. Let's look at God's will and see how that lines up. It may be a good thing, but it's not a God thing. And so when we get godly counsel, friends will help us align our desires with God's will, because sometimes we become so enamored with that desire that we get blinders. And so get wise counsel. See, we need to turn to other godly men and women to get some wisdom. Let me share with you some scriptures about the importance of seeking wise counsel. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Get some wise counsel. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in the abundance of counselors, there's safety. Don't just get one opinion, because you're probably going to go to the person who thinks just like you. Oh, girlfriend, just buy those shoes. Don't care what he says. No. Go find somebody who has a different perspective, a different mindset, who's a godly man or woman, and say, hey, what do you think about this? Don't just turn to one person, but go to multiple people. In the abundance of counselors, there is safety. It means you're not going to make a wrong decision in that. All right, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. I think every teenager should probably mark down this verse. In fact, hey, let's go get tattoos this afternoon and put that verse on our arm so that we remember that. When you think, I don't need advice, I'm bigger than advice, I'm smarter than advice, I don't need to consult anyone, the Bible says you're a fool. You are a fool, but a wise man listens to advice. Get advice, especially the advice that comes from a different perspective than yours. Broaden your perspective so that you can make a right decision. You can avoid deferred hope. And then look at this verse here, Proverbs 15. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Are you picking up on a theme here? Many counsels, many advisors, your plans will succeed. Don't just find someone who agrees with you, but get a lot of advice. Yes, take that advice. Don't be a fool and think you're right in your own eyes. So far, to avoid deferred hope, I told you this was going to go quick, consult God's word, get into God's word, make a fresh commitment today to study God's word, to meditate on God's word, know God's word, because that's how God speaks, is through his word. Secondly, get wise counsel. Talk to people who are more mature than you, who are less mature than you, so you can see how mature more than you are than them. Get a wide array of advice, get many counsel to give you advice. And then number three, pray. I know you're thinking, boy, this pastor is so smart. How many counselors did he get for point three? You want to defer hope, pray. Don't just take matters into your own hands. Let me tell you, I've had opportunities that looked really great on paper. When I looked at them, I thought, boy, this is a perfect opportunity. But you know, when I brought them to prayer and God was quiet. I'm like, but God, this looks great. This, like, if you break down all the needs on this job application, it spells M-I-K-E. I mean, it's perfect. There's been times where I've looked, and so I've brought it to God in prayer, and God just didn't say anything. And God allowed me to sit and marinate in that prayer for a while. Let me tell you this. If you don't hear anything else this morning, don't subscribe to an open-door theology when it comes to making decisions. I have seen a lot of good people make a decision because a door opened that wasn't for them. It caused more financial hardship, more relational hardship, and created greater burdens than they ever dreamed of having because, well, it's an open door. You know what an open door theology is meant to do? Keep you from praying. And don't just assume because the door is open, it's God's will for you. It may not mean you're supposed to walk through it. It may also mean that it's just not God's timing for your life. That open door may lead you into deep despair. And then you're praying for God to help and rescue you from that. See, to be in the right place at the right time is the right decision. To be in the right place, to know that this is where God wants you to be, and to pray and to hear God's confirmation, that's the right decision, not an open door. Verse 14 explains that the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Let me tell you, the closer we stay to God, the more effectual His peace is with us. I've seen it over and over in my life. The further I've leaned away from God, I've trusted in my own understanding, I've acknowledged myself in every way, I've done the opposite of Proverbs 3. Every time I've done that, I've gotten further away from God's peace, further away from His joy, further away from a sense of safety and security. But when I've come back to Him, when I walk in harmony with Him through advisors, through the Word, and through prayer, God's peace has been with me. Let me just tell you this about prayer. A prayer is never a substitute for action, but should precede action. I've known people who've used prayer because they just want to do anything else. Like, I can just sit down and pray, or I can go work for it. Listen, both are required as men and women of God. We need to work for it, and we need to pray for it. When we are seeking God's will, we just want to sit there and say, God, land me a job while I sit here and play video games. It's not going to happen. I can tell you right now, that's a prayer. It's never going to be answered. But you're going to be great at video games. Yeah. All right. It's not a compliment. Prayer should never replace or be a substitute for action, but should precede action. If you can't pray about it, you probably shouldn't pursue it. If you don't want to bring it to God, then there's probably a reason why, because in your heart you know it's not God's will. So if you can't pray about something, then you probably shouldn't pursue it. Let me tell you this, God always answers prayer. Always. Not sometimes, not part of the time, although I've felt like that before. For years, I thought God answered all prayers, but very few of mine. I like what Mark Batterson said about this. God won't answer 100% of the prayers you don't pray. God won't. If you don't pray about it, you're not going to get an answer. God never answers those prayers that we don't pray. But look what Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. Okay, let's read this together. Let's try our best to be in harmony, okay? Call to me and I will answer you. God says if we call to Him, He'll answer us. If we pray, He says, I'll answer you. Call to me. Remember back in the day when you didn't have call waiting? And you called someone, like there's three of us in here that remember that. That's cool. And you would call, and you would get the, so you're like, okay, let's wait a couple seconds, let's call back, you know, because someone was on the line. You're never getting a busy tone with God. God has the incredible ability to hear all of us pray at the same time and answer us all at the same time in a way we can all understand. And the rest of the world. God can hear every prayer, and He said He will answer it. I will answer you. Remember we said God's not a man. He does not lie. If I say it, I'm going to do it. He says, I will answer you. See, the truth of the matter is this. We don't always like God's answer. Like God answers us, and we're like, no, I don't take that from you. I'm going to pray to you to do something different because you were wrong. Because I really want this, God. It doesn't work like that. We don't like God's answers. But I tell you what, God always answers prayers. They're either yes, we love those. I'm a big fan of yes. I love yes prayers. Yes prayers are my favorite prayers ever. Then God answers, not right now. And I'm not too big of a fan of those, but I can handle those. That's where God sometimes wants to change our motives behind our prayers. So God says, not right now. And then the prayers I hate the most are no prayers. When God says no, and that's the one that God often answers because, as James says, we pray, but we pray with selfish motives. We pray with the wrong motives, and because of that, God says no. Or he's kind in that moment, and he tells us, not right now. And those moments when God says no or not right now, for sure when he says not right now, and sometimes when he says no, what he wants to do, he wants to refine how you're praying. He wants to change the motive. It's not that what you're asking for is wrong, but the motive or the intent behind it isn't good. And so he wants to allow you he wants to refine that prayer in your life to change the motive so that you can receive the answer or the blessing. So if God is silent, don't quit. Just begin to ask God, if you've been praying for something and he hasn't said no, he hasn't said yes, and you're in that limbo and you're like kind of friends with God because you're not too mad yet with him, just say, okay, God, search my heart. Am I asking this for the wrong reason? And if I am, change my reason because I want what I'm seeking of you to be a blessing, not just to me, but to everyone around me. So change my heart. Change my motive. Change me. See, if we allow God to refine those moments when he's silent, and sometimes even when he says no, the answer will come if we're willing to yield. See, I've had moments like this when I realized that what I was asking for was not really what I wanted. Like I was praying and saying, God, give me this. And God's like, really? And so God would just be quiet, and I would continue to pray. And in that quiet time with him, he began to allow me to see what I was asking for. And I realized that's not really what I want, God. There's a bigger issue. There's a bigger need in my life. And I see that as the way to get what I want, but that's not what you want for me. And so God had to refine my heart. And then there are other times where God just said no, and I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I didn't know why. And in those moments, you and I just have to yield to God. See, the Apostle Paul said this, and sometimes when we pray, we just don't know what to ask or how to ask. We think we know, but we don't know. And so the Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, you and I are weak when it comes to prayer. We're all beginners. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. See, there are times I just don't know what to ask or how to ask God, but the Holy Spirit does. And if we'll yield to him, he will intercede through us. See, if we don't, we're going to go and try to get that. And if God's like absolutely shutting the door on that, like it's beyond your ability to get outside of God's intervention, you're going to open up the door to great disappointment, to despair, to feeling crushed. See, to yield to him means that we may not get what we want, but we will get exactly what we need. It's to be content with that, saying, God, this is what I wanted when I started praying. This is what you've given me. I see the difference, and I receive it from you. See, sometimes God answers our prayer, and we don't see it because it's not the package we were looking for. Because we got to yield ourselves to him. See, that closed door may guide you in a direction that maintains the peace, his peace and his joy. Door that God says, what I close, no man's going to open. And what I open, no man's going to close. That door, it may be God's way of saying, peace is better than getting what you wanted. My joy through that is better than you getting what you wanted, which is not going to lead you into my will. See, our heart-sick feeling can be the result of our battle of not yielding to God's perfect will in our life. Or not getting wise counsel. We just took our own will. We took our own advice. We just did things our way. Our heart-sick feeling this morning may be because we're not looking into God's word. Or maybe a result of a lack of prayer. We just decided to go for it without praying and seeking God. See, if this is where you're at today, it's time to hear God's word. It's time to apply God's word. It's time to repent. And then we need to repeat that daily. See, if we want to get out of that moment, to that season of despair, that season of, God, why haven't you answered this prayer yet? Or maybe the time has passed and you're like, God, you could have done something, but you did nothing. Why didn't you? Listen, we need to hear God's word. We need to apply God's word. We need to repent, and we need to repeat daily. See, we don't know what the next minute, what the next hour, what the next day, what the next week, what the next month, what the next year is going to be like. We don't know what's going to happen in an hour from now. We think we do because we remember last Sunday what happened an hour from now, but it's no guarantee of what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God does. And he responds to your prayers with all of that in mind. And if you're heartsick this morning over deferred hope, let God heal your disappointment and trust in his will, that his will is best for your life. Would you close your eyes this morning? Father, I thank you today that you are merciful. You are a generous, kind, loving, compassionate, passionate God. And you said, if any of us lack wisdom, that we can ask you, who will give it generously and without finding fault, without shaming us, without rejecting us, without mocking us, without making fun of us. God, you'll just pour out wisdom. And Father, this morning there are some here whose heart has been crushed under disappointment. There are some this morning, God, who have become despondent towards you. Despondent towards prayer. Because they feel that you've let them down. God, I pray this morning that you would bring healing to those that are feeling that way today. That you'll lift that burden from their spirit. And God, by your Holy Spirit, that you'll affirm and confirm that the answer to their prayer was not what they wanted, but it's what they needed. That answer to their prayer came differently than they anticipated, but God, you haven't ignored them. You haven't rejected them, because that's not who you are. So God, we pray for healing over their heart this morning. And we pray this morning for them that faith would arise in their life. And discouragement would blow away. In Jesus' name, amen.